Hello, my friends. Grace to you, and welcome to our podcast for the 24th day of August. I'm Paul White. We call this daily version the Deeper Daily Podcast, though I want to remind our audience that we do more than just daily drops. We also do two weekly drops, one on Wednesday, one on Sunday. Those are both full-length sermons. One, the Wednesday, is our midweek Bible study from Flowery Branch, Georgia, currently working through 1 John. Those are numbered sequentially wherever you get your podcast. Also, video versions available at YouTube. PWM is our channel, or you can go to paulwhiteministries.com for all things Paul White Ministries. And we also do a Sunday drop. That's our travels from around the world. And lately, they've been travels from fairly locally. We're doing a lot of stuff in South Carolina, a lot of stuff in Georgia, posting some sermons we've done in recent online schools at different places. Those drop on Sundays. Check it all out. If you like audio only, wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can always find the audio only, or you can visit our website for our audio content, which is deeperdaily.com. All right, Genesis chapter 3, therefore, verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. There was no indication prior to the fall that it was about tilling. Prior to the fall, it was about tending. What we could say about that is that the nature of the fall, disobedience, and then reliance upon self-consciousness, thus equals reliance on living by the sweat of your brow and your own hand, and that God's preferred way was to tend that which he cared for rather than to till or to toil over that which was going to fight back against us, and that's what the earth sometimes does. There's probably a lot of psychology there and a lot of depth emotionally that I'm just not smart enough or able to plumb out. When I see this text, what it says to me is that the end result of a man who has leaned into his own skills and his own ability at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is going to be left with tilling the ground. That should have been something he could merely tend to had he followed the Spirit. And so if I need a spiritual application, it would be this. When I lean into my own understanding, I end up working, toiling, hard effort, no guaranteed return, because sometimes the ground does not yield its fruit. When I lean unto his understanding, into what he has done for me, into the spirit of that tree of life, and let it become what defines me and clothes me. When that happens, I simply tend to whatever God's put in front of me. It doesn't mean I don't work. It means that my toil, my work isn't toil. My work is tending to what he has given me. I look at raising kids that way. If you view them as a gift of God that he has blessed you with upon the earth so that you can put the kingdom inside of them and cause them to have the opportunity of relationship with the Father and the beauty of that, you can do it properly, then while raising kids is work, it isn't toil, it's tending. You start to view it as you're tending to this young man or this young lady whom God has blessed you with, and this is to me the best way to view it, temporarily allowed you to sort of govern and captain. And if you will do it properly, at least to the best of your ability, you will tend to them as he tends to you, then you will release something into the earth that is valuable. If otherwise, you look at it as a burden and a hardship, and this is where we do a poor job parenting when we replace that idea as something we get to tend and shepherd with something we have to do and have to work over. And I don't know if I've pushed the illustration too far, but it seems to me that the tend and the toil are two different things. I really see this text as an act of great mercy. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. You might read that and think, how is being kicked out of the garden and how is being forced to tend the ground or till the ground. How is that mercy? Well, because, remember, the therefore points backward to previous information. The fact that God doesn't want Adam and Eve to live in perpetuity in the state they are in. He really wants to save the soul. And to do that, he needs to redeem what's happened in the garden. And God's choice of redemption is going to be to take place, take their place on that tree of life, to turn that tree of life into a tree of death. That will happen at Calvary. And we'll start to unpack that tomorrow. But that's why I see the therefore he sends them out of the garden as a great act of mercy, because it is God's mercy that leads us east of Eden, that leads us to that place so that we can see true redemption. It's not easy to get into that place mentally where you start to view the traversing, the journey that looks like it's taken you off the trail. And you go, why am I out here? And it's not easy to get to the place where you see that as merciful. Because sometimes you'll see that as punishment, or you'll see that as discipline, or you'll see that as payback, or you'll see that as God leaving you alone and not giving you what you need. But the reality is every time God leads us, he never leaves us. He never drops us off in a place and then says, okay, good luck, I'll see you on the other side. Even when Jesus goes into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, the scripture's quick to remind you that he's led by the Holy Ghost into that wilderness, because it's not the Father leading you into chaos. It's the Father leading you to the place you need to be for whatever purpose it is you need to be there. And if you can see it as an act of mercy, then maybe you'll start to realize that had you stayed where you were, it would not be good for you. Thus, the Father who is good, and you need to always see him as good. The Father who is good takes you to a place where you can prosper. I don't mean he takes you to a place where it is easy, or even where it is fun. You've heard me say before, faith is essentially a great call to adventure. And as you respond to that call and then take the great adventure, there's no promise that what you're walking into is fun or that you're walking into is easy, but there is promise that what you're walking into is union with him, that where he is, there you shall be also. And man, that's an adventure worth taking. Because no matter what you encounter along the way, you have this grand possibility of winning. And you know that if he led you on the adventure, it's not just a possibility of winning, it's a promise of winning. And so what does the road look like east of Eden? It's a great act of mercy that takes us there. And this story is not about trying to get back into Eden. That won't develop until, to me, it doesn't develop until the cross. Today you'll be with me in paradise. That's Eden, but that's where we go tomorrow, because as we approach the end of the third chapter, we're going to find the sword turning every which way. And we'll do that tomorrow. See you then. God bless.